Okay. Morning. Today's Daphne Zion in Zvachim. We're starting the Mishnah when the Mishnah on Vavam of Days. This is the last Mishnah, the final Mishnah of the fifth parak of Zvachim. Okay, and after today you will be maybe not experts, but certainly more fluent and more knowledgeable in the Ezum Mekoman parak. The Mishnah starts off with Chorba Ma'is VaPesach Kachim Kalum Shchitasim B'Chol Malkum Ba'Azara V'Damam Talma Tana Achas. So now we are at the end. We're at the end of the list of karbanos, and the end is Bechor Ma'is and Pesach. The three shlamims, right? They're all unique shlamims. They all have different halachas than your typical shlamim, and that's why the Mishnah puts it in its own separate category. Bechor is the firstborn animal. Every time the animal gives birth for the first time, the resulting animal is a bechor. It's part of the matnas kahuna, part of the gift to a kohen. You must give the bechor to a kohen, but it's a karban. So then what the kohen does is turn around and offers it as a karban and eats it as a karban. Meiser over here is referring to meiser behema. Meiser behema, what you do annually is you count the number of animals in your flock. There is a fiscal year for meiser behema. It starts on Rosh Chodesh. Anyone know? Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul is your fiscal year for Ma'aser Behema. And what you do is all the animals that are born from Elul to Elul, you collect all those animals, you count those animals. Every 10th animal is dedicated as a karban. This is not Matnos Kahuna. You don't give this to the Kohen. You retain this for yourself. You bring it to Yerushalayim. You eat in the Beis HaMikdash as a quote-unquote regular shlamim. And then the third one, of course, is a Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach also is a shlamim. But it is extraordinarily unique. The Mishnah, this Mishnah over here, will point out all the unique aspects of these different types of karbanos. But they're all shlamim. So then if they're all shlamim, so why do they get their own little designation? Why do they get their own little Mishnah? Because they're different. They're not the same type of, they're not the same as other types of shlamim. The Mishnah over here goes through each specific example. So the Mishnah goes on, kashim kalim shchitasim b'chol makom ba'azara. So first of all, you shecht it anywhere in the azara. That's a regular rule of shlamim. B'damim tam matana achas. However, in terms of application of blood, only one application of blood is necessary for these animals. So as opposed to your regular shlamim, where you need shtayim shein arba, two, which is four, on these, b'chor meister and Pesach, so you only need one application. But remember, says the Mishnah, it has to be a place on the Mizbech where there is Yisod. So not the southeast. Southeast corner is at off limits because southeast corner doesn't have Yisod. So it's either got to be the northeast, northwest, or southwest. One of those three, it can't be the southeast. Shina ba'achilasan, they're different in terms of achila. So in other words, that's up until this point in the Mishnah, that's where they're uniform. From this point forward, they differ. Ha'bechor nechala kohanim. So as far as the Bechor is concerned, so that the Kohanim eat, as I explained in the beginning of the Mishnah, Bechor is Matnas Kohuna. You gift it to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim eat it. The Hamasa Bechor Adam, Hamasa can be eaten by anybody. It's not part of the Matnas Kohuna. Now as far as these two Karbanos are concerned, in terms of time, regular Shlamim rules. So 2 days with the night in between. For both the Bechor and for the Meister. And we get to the Karban Pesach. As far as the Karban Pesach is concerned, so Eino Necha Ela B'Laila. So we know the Karban Pesach can only be eaten that night. Karban Pesach is an extraordinarily unique karban in terms of when you eat it. It really is unique. And Gemara will highlight this later on as well. Usually by a karban, I eat it the day I shecht it. That's not true by the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, the day I shecht it is the 14th day of Nisan. The day I eat it, I can't eat it on the 14th day of Nisan. It's simply, you're not allowed to eat it on the 14th day of Nisan. So, Eino Nechal Ela Balayla. So the only time you eat it is at night. The Eino Nechal Ela Ad Chatzos. And you only eat it until midnight. The Mishnah in Zvachim, in the fifth Perek, takes a very strong position of how far into the night, how deep into the night you can eat your Karban Pesach, and that is only till midnight. Mishnah is talking midaraisa, or Mishnah is talking midarabanan. We're going to talk about that later on. The Gemara is going to discuss that later on. The Eino Nechal Ela Lemenuyav. Another thing, when eating the Karban Pesach, you have to register for the Karban Pesach. You cannot come in uninvited to a Karban Pesach. You can't sit down and simply say, okay, I'm here. You have to be minu, you have to have a registration. Registration is not that complicated. It's just simply coming to the person before he shechts the animal and says, "Hi, I'd like to register." And good. And now that's it. And
there's a paperwork. No, you have to participate in the payment.
In the payment, no.
No. Just say That's it.
It's just simply saying. I mean, there has to be an agreement. There has to,
you
know.
But you don't have to.
Right, but right.
Something.
No. Not that I know of. Okay.
You can share with anybody
who's listening. Yeah. Shlomim, anyone can sit down. You're Shlomim. There's no registration.
It's like the Daf Yomi Siyam.
Registration, right? So Elo Beino Necha Alam Nuya Beino Necha Elotzli, and right, all the Mishnayos that kept saying in the fifth perek, you know, it can be eaten the chol machal. All those times that we mentioned it throughout the entire fifth parak is all because of these two words in the Mishnah. Because when it comes to the Karban Pesach, you have to eat it tzli, you have to eat it roasted, right? And this is the only Karban where the Torah tells you how to prepare it. Right? By no other Karbanos, the Torah doesn't tell us how to prepare it. You can eat it any which way you want. In theory, you can even eat it raw, which, right, not recommended, but Karban Pesach has to be roasted. You cannot eat it any other way.
Why is it categorized as a kachum kamabis? And these are kuris, you don't bring it to, you know, why do they get
that may be true, but doesn't change the nature of the carbon. The carbon's still in nature carbon shlamin. Think about in terms of where you can shecht in the Azara, anywhere. Think about in terms of where you can eat it. You don't have to be anywhere in Yerushalayim. For most of its halachas, you're correct. There are unique halachas, but for most of the halachas, it really does pattern a shlamin pattern. Okay. That is the Mishnah. Much to discuss in the Mishnah. There's an interesting Tosfos. Look at the last Tosfos on the page. A Pesach Eino Necha, Tema. Listen, Amideino Necha, Ela Matzos Umorim. Tosfos says, you know, as long as we're talking about all the differences of the Karban Pesach versus other Karbanos, notably the Bechor and the Meiser, so Tosfos says, you know, the Mishnah could have written and didn't. The Mishnah could have written, oh, and when it comes to the Karban Pesach, you eat it with Matzah and Marer. It's a strange Tosfos. Tosfos is coming from the perspective of Matzah and Marer is part of the Karban Pesach. Meaning, without having asked Tosfos' question, you could have just simply said, there's another mitzvah on Seder night, it's called eating matzah, and it's called eating marer. And the detail there is that you have to eat it with the Karban Pesach. Tosfos, from the asking point, from the perspective of him questioning this, is almost taking the position like, no, it's really, eating matzah and eating marer is really part of Karban Pesach. It's a part and parcel of Karban Pesach, and therefore should it be listed as such.
Okay? Let's just say you can't break the bone.
Right. Correct. Right. In other words, right. Once Tosfos is asking that question, then you can ask a whole other slew of questions.
But that's part of the common face of the animal breaking the bone.
Correct. Correct. You could. Right. Right. Okay. Anyway, that's fine. Start with the Gemara. Mantana Amar Rav Chista Rav Yosi Aglilihi. Okay, who's the author of our Mishnah? So the answer is Rav Yosi Aglili. We did this not that long ago. We're doing it again. And that is the major debate between how you apply the blood of the Karban Pesach to the Mizbeach. Right? Is it a Shficha? Is it a gentle pouring? Or is it a Zrika? Or is it a Spritz? Okay. And Rav Yosi Aglili is of the opinion that it's done through a Spritz. How does Rav Yosi Aglili arrive at that conclusion? Because Spritz is a very technical term. It's
sprinkling.
It means that it's with a thrust.
From the clay.
No, the finger. The dipping in the finger is only for the carbon chattas. And I apply it to the edges of the of it. But over here, when I say zrika, I mean with a horizontal thrust, so that the blood travels and hits the walls of the mizbeach. Rav Yosi Aglili says we know it's done bezrika. Now, by the Karban Pesach, the Torah does not tell us at any point in time whether it's shvicha or whether it's zrika. However, the Torah does say by the bechor that the bechor's blood is sprinkled onto the mizbeach. And as we're going to learn in just a moment, Rav Yosi Aglili believes that the three, Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach, all learn from one another. And so you see that our Mishnah, which lumps the three together, is following the model of Rav Yosi Aglili. So it seems from our Mishnah that Amish is following like Rav Yosef Glili. Let's see the connection. The Tanya we learned on the Bryce, Rav Yosef Glili Omer. Chel b'lo nemar el chalbam. Dam b'lo nemar el adamam. This is by the Bechor. This is in Parshas Korach, where the Torah talks about the Matnas Kahuna, and the Torah describes the Bechor, and the Torah there says, and you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech. But the Torah does not say its blood. It says damam, their blood. And it doesn't say chelbo, it says chelbam, not its fat, but their fat. So referring to some other karbanos. Liman al bechor ma'aser pesach shetun and matan damam. V'imurim legabei mizbech keneged yisod. I'm sorry, matan damam. So you see that the application of the other two are learned from the bechor. Okay.
It's an antecedent to a pronoun, which the antecedent is not in this parsha.
Correct. It's an ambiguous, right? It's an ambiguous reference to some other carbon, and Rav Yosef Glili says, "Oh, I know." Right? Obviously, it's referring. Correct. You're absolutely correct. There's no sniff. There's no allusion that Pesach and Maaser are also in the discussion.
So rather than have one other, because the Torah was plural, only has one.
Here he has two others. Mm-hmm. Point taken. Okay, shetuna mandam and v'imur legabe mizbech kenegad yisod minala namar av elaza asya zrika zrika meola. Now, as far as this requirement of kenegad yisod, so where does that come from? So that's learned out through Gzeira Shava. It says the ola gufa minala. Now, how about the ola? Where's the ola learned from? Tifsev el yisod mizbech el yisod. I'm sorry, el yisod mizbeach. It says by the foundation of the mizbeach. Ha ola limed al ola schova shetuna. Yesod. So you see that the carbon ola has this requirement of yesod. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So now you're telling me that the location of where I sprinkle the blood is learned from the carbon ola. Wait a second. Carbon ola, there's two applications. Shtaim Shein Dalad. Two applications on the Mizbeach, which end up hitting all four walls, which means that you hit the northeast and southwest corners. Pesach should be the same thing. So Amar Abaye, Lamali Lamechtav, Saviv Ba'ola, Saviv Bechatas, Habushnek Suvam Abaim Kech, Vachoshnek Suvam Abaim Kech, and Emalamdin. So the Torah says no, that we have the word Saviv once, we have the word Saviv twice, we have it by the Ola, we have it by the Chatas. It tells us that these are not precedented rules. These are not rules that you create a binyan of. These are rules that are specific to each karban. So we have a special rule by the Chatas, which is four corners. You have a special rule by the Ola, which is Shtaim Shein Dalid, two which are four. And I guess the Karban Pesach, it also has a unique rule. Meaning that in this area of how many times they hit the Mizbech, it's not precedented. We don't have a precedent. Again, the Gemara asks, like it always does whenever we get to this point, there is a Manda Amar, there is a Tana, who does learn precedence, who does learn Binyanav, Mishnek Suvim. By the way, one of those Tanaim is Rabbi Shmuel. Right? Binyanav, Mikasavecha, Binyanav, Mishnek Suvim. Right? Right? Rabbi Shmuel's Baisa. So, you know, you want to know who does that? Presumably Rabbi Shmuel does that. So the Gemara always addresses that Tana who holds that you can learn out from two Pesukim, Michael and Meimar. So Havi Asham Shlosha. Well, it is mentioned the third time by the Asham. And Bishlosha Vadeim Alamdim, and that's already, forget about. Yeah, that you can do. Ein Malamdim. Okay. Good. So we have so far now the basics regarding the Karban Pesach, the Bechor and the Maaser in terms of them being a Shlamim. We talk about now how the application of blood goes. Major machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Shmuel in terms of whether it's Nizrak or it's Nishpach. Fine. Tanu Rabba HaBechor Nechal LaKohan Tanu Rabbanu Minayin LaBechor Shenechal Shnei Yamin V'layla. Alright, Bechor, how many days do I eat it for? So the correct answer is 2 days. 2 days in the middle and the night intervening. I know that because the Mishnah tells us that. Good, the Mishnah tells us that. This is a Braisa. This is... Is this Sifrei? I'm not sure. Okay, either way. This is a Braisa, and the Braisa is now going to go through fascinating dialogue between Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, right, all the big hitters, in terms of how we know that the Bechor is eaten for 2 days and the night intervening. Now, it's funny. You would just simply say, it's a Shlamim. All Shlamim are eaten for 2 days and the night intervening. But that's not true. Because your Pesach is not eaten for 2 days and night intervening. And your Karban Todah is not eaten for 2 days and the night intervening. Karban Todah, you only have 1 day and one night. So it's not just because it's a Shlamim doesn't automatically mean I eat it for 2 days and one night. So now that you have that background, so now you're going to see, it's going to be an interesting dialogue. We know what the result is. This brisa is not about the result. It's all about the process. We go back to Parshas Korach, and in Parshas Korach, the Torah tells us, the Kohanim, you people are going to get the Bechor. You're going to get the firstborn animal. You know what it's like? The Torah makes a hekesh. It's like the Chazeh Tenufah Shok HaYamin. It's like that right leg. It's like the chest of all Shlamim. Oh, the Torah created a hekesh. So now he kishu akas for the chazev v'shok shor shlamim. Ma shlamim ne'achal l'shnei yamim v'layla echad, v'chor ne'achal l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Okay, so we have now a hekesh. It seems pretty straightforward, right? And it's only one hekesh, and life is great, but you see that there's a lot of daf left on the page. So it's not as simple as originally presented. It's going to get a little tricky, but hopefully we'll navigate. And here is a discussion they had in Keren B'Yavneh. Keren B'Yavneh has become popularized by the fantastic Yeshivat Hesder that exists now in Keren B'Yavneh. But Keren B'Yavneh originally was one of the places where the Sanhedrin was relocated after the destruction of the Second Temple. So Sanhedrin went into Galus and went into exile. And it jumped around from 10 different locations. And they went to Usha. I don't know where that is. They went to Usha, and one of the places they went to was Keren B'Yavneh. So, and this discussion took place in Keren B'Yavneh. You know about Keren B'Yavneh because of the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says one of the requests that was made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when he met the Caesar. Yeah. So when he right. So when he met him, he said to him, "Tein li Yavneh v'chachameha." Right. I need Yavneh. Right, I need preservation of Yavneh, meaning Yerushalayim, of course, is destroyed. I need a center of learning for the Jewish people. So Yavneh became the center. So Tainli Yavneh. So Bekarim B'Yavneh, Bechor L'Kama Nechal. So here in Yavneh, between Rabbi Shmuel, let's go step by step. So the question comes up now in the Beis Medrash in Yavneh, how do I know that the Bechor is Nechal? How do I know that the Bechor is eaten for 2 days and one night? So Nana Rabbi Tav Amar, L'shnei Yamin V'layla Echad. I'm sorry, the original question was how long? How long is he eaten for? So Rabbi Tarfon answers 2 days and one night in between. Okay. Hi Yisham Tamid Echem Shebala Beis Medrash L'fnei Chacham T'chila V'Rav Yosei Aglili Shmo. So someone's being introduced that day to the Beis Medrash and his name is Rav Yosei Aglili. Not his first day of learning. not that. But in other words, his first day, right? His first day as part of the elite core of Keren B'Yavneh, the Chachmei Keren B'Yavneh. So he's there. Amalo Rebbe Minayin Lach. So Rabbi Yosef Glili challenges first day in yeshiva. So challenges Rabbi Tarfon. How do you know? How do you know that the Bechor is eaten for 2 days and the night in between? So, Amalach Mini Shlamim Kashim Kalim of Bechor Kashim Kalim. Ma Shlamim Nechal Mishne Yamim Velayla Echad. Af Bechor Nechal Mishne Yamim Velayla Echad. So, Rabbi Tarfon says, Binyanov. It's a precedent. I know the Bechor is a Shlamim. I know the Shlamim is a Shlamim. I know the Shlamim is eaten for 2 days. Bechor is also eaten for 2 days. Amalo Rebbe Bechor Matan Lekohen V'chatos V'ashom Matan Lekohen Ma'chatos V'ashom L'yom V'layla Av Bechor L'yom V'layla. So Rabbi Yosef Glili tests and prods and tries to see, is this really true? Binyanav, you know, if you want to make a Binyanav, you could say that your Bechor is much like the Chatos and the Asham, in that the Chatos and the Asham are gifts to the Kohanim. That, right? And that's exactly, it's true. Every time you have a chatos and every time you have an asham, so what happens to the meat of the chatos and the asham? It's gifted to the Kohanim. So this too is also a gift to the Kohanim. Now the chatos and asham are eaten for 1 day and the night afterwards. Couldn't you say the same thing by the Bechor as well? A Bechor, lo yom v'layla. Amar lo, so Rabbi Tarfon says back to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, nadon davar mi davar, v'nilma davar mi davar. What are we doing here? We're making comparisons, right? This is the world of Inyanav, right? We're issuing a precedent based on what it's similar to. So now let's see. I'm comparing it to a shlamim. You're comparing it to a chatzas and asham. Who's got better legs to stand on? Which is a better comparison? Ma shlamim ain by malchet apachor ino ba alchet. Ma shlamim nechal moshe yamim v'layla echad apachor nechal moshe yamim v'layla echad. You want to tell me that the Bechor is like a Chatzas and Hashem? That doesn't make sense. Chatzas and Hashem ba'al ha'chet. They come as a way of repairing, of atoning. And that's not true by the Bechor. And it's not true by the Shlomim. So if I'm making a binyanav, my binyanav seems to be much more sound than your binyanav. Amar lo Rebbe. So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili turns back to Rabbi Tarfon and says, Rebbe, nidon davar mi davar, yolam mi davar mi davar. Again, we're now making comparisons. We're in the world of binyanav. Chatos v'asham matana l'kohen, abachor matana l'kohen. Ma chatos v'asham ein bayim b'nedar u'nedava, af b'chor einu b'nedar u'nedava. Yeah, shlamim is voluntary, right? Almost always. Again, Pesach is different, but Pesach is a unique shlamim. But the generic shlamim model of karban is a voluntary offering. It's ba nedo nedava. That's not true by Chatzos v'Asham, and it's not true by Bechor. Bechor is not nedo nedava, meaning your animal gives birth for the first time, done. That animal is a karban. That animal is a Bechor. You don't have a choice in the matter. It's not voluntary in nature. So if I'm making a comparison, I would say Bechor is much like Chatzos v'Asham, where it's eino benedo nedava. It's not voluntary. Okay, so that ends the standoff between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Tarfon is now trying to argue that it's like a shlamim, and we're going to precedent it like a shlamim, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili so far has successfully attacked the argument and said, no, if anything, I think that it's more like the Chatzos and Hashem. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this process, it's a process. It's now, we all know what the result is going to yield, but it's a question of how to get to that result. And you see over here, these Tanayim are going through methodology, trying to figure out how we arrive at that conclusion. So Kafetz Rabbi Akiva. So now in this generation, it's an unbelievable generation. Right, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Right, well, we all know them. They're all in the and they're sitting in Bnei Brak on the Seder night. So Kafetz Rabbi Akiva and Nistalik Rabbi Tarfon. So okay, so now tag in, right? So Rabbi Tarfon takes a break, and Rabbi Akiva gets tagged in, and now Rabbi Akiva is going to take a turn trying to successfully argue that that your Bechor is going to be eaten for 2 days and one night. So Am Aloh Hareu Omer Uvisaram Yiyelach. So what are we going to do over here? We're going to go to Korach, Parshas Korach. He kishin akasav lechazav v'shok shel shlamim. Ma shlamim nechalim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad, av b'chor nechal l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Yeah, yes. What the Braisa did is the Braisa gave us like an introduction / foreshadowing. Right? And then after the Braisa did this, then the Braisa says, okay, now let's go back and let me tell you a little story about Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And we had, the Bryce is so smart, and like implanted it in our minds. And now the Bryce is like, oh, right? Here's the punchline, right? Remember from the introduction. So,
if that's the case, why does Lau put down before under any other category? Chor should be separate. Not shlamim, not
a but we know, in other words, shlamim is a category because shlamim is kachim kalim. So it's gotta, all karbanos are going to either be kachim or kachim kalim. Well, it's going to be one or the other. Right? Those are your two main categories of karbanos. That's how you conceptualize and divide and organize. So we know it fits in there, but not every kachim kalim. The confusion over here is not every kachim kalim is eaten for 2 days. Right, which is now what gives Rav Yossi HaGlili the opportunity to argue, you know, I don't think Bechor is eaten for 2 days. Right. So Avachor Nechal Shayon V'Lay Lechad Amar Lo He Kishto L'Chazev V'Shok Shol Shlamim V'Anim Kishto L'Chazev V'Shok Shol Toda. Look, I agree with you. The Torah does compare it to Chazev V'Shok, but the Chazev V'Shok of what? Of what? Meaning, which Chazev V'Shok are we talking about? So you want to argue that we're talking about the generic Chazev V'Shok of Shlamim, which is in fact eaten for 2 days and one night. Okay. But I'll argue, this is now Rabbi Yosef Aglili turning to Rabbi Akiva, I'll argue it is Chazev V'Shok of Karban Toda, which is not a terrible comparison. Toda is also a Shlamim. It's also a type of Shlamim. And we know the Toda is eaten only for 1 day and one night. So, Ma Toda Nechal Liyom V'Layla, Apachor Nechal Liyom V'Layla. Am Alo Harei Omer Uvisarim Yelach. Shein Tam Alo Omer Lach Yiyeh. Matar malomer lacha yihyeh hosif hakostav havaya acheres bebechor. The fact that the Torah says uvisarim yihyeh lach, yihyeh is an act of being. It's an act of existence, meaning it exists for a little bit longer than what you would think. So that yihyeh lach hosif hakostav havaya acheres, another day, if you will, literally another day of existence. Bebechor kishenamru. Fine. Period. Okay. And so, what Rabbi Akiva is forced to do now is now leave the world of binyanav, leave the world of precedent, and of hekesh, and go to drushas. Right. Uvistarim yiyelach, and that extra yiyeh tells us that it's an extra day. Meaning, you're right. I have two choices. I can either model it after the toda, which is 1 day and one night, or I can model it after the shlamim, which is 2 days. The extra yiyah is going to tell me that it's the shlama model because it's an extra day, an extra existence. Now, this is a conversation that takes place in the Beis Medrash in Yavne. So we have now Rabbi Yossi Aglili against Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Yossi Aglili seems to have won that fight. Rabbi Yossi Aglili against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is given the last word, but has to resort to drushas in order to get in order to finish off this point. Now the whole conversation is brought back to Rabbi Shmuel. So Uchishanamu Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Shmuel, and it seems very apparent that Rabbi Shmuel was not in the Beis Medrash at the time. He's now hearing this afterwards. Amalem Suva Amrulola Rabbi Kiva Ta'isa. So Rabbi Shmuel's commentary on the conversation is, Rabbi Kiva, you made a mistake. Toda Mehechan Lamda Mishlamim. Because what did you do? You allowed him, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is telling Rabbi Akiva, you allowed him, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, to start connecting your Chazev V'Shok to Toda. You shouldn't have allowed him to do that. Why? Davar halamed behekesh, chozer malamed behekesh. Back to Daf Nun. Okay, you can't do that. Meaning, because the whole idea of the Chazev V'Shok of a Toda is learned from a Hekesh of Chazev V'Shok of a Shlamim. And so, what you now allowed him to do is to go Hekesh. And you know you can't do that. Ha ein alecha lidon b'lashon acharon ela b'lashon rishon. So, Rabbi Kiva, you're wrong, but only in the fact that you went one step beyond where you needed to go. You could have stopped at the step of, it's Shlamim. Torah compares it to Chazev V'Shok, and that would have been fine. Because what was Rav Yossi Aglili's move over there, right, when it came to him, his turn at the chess table? What was his move? His move was, well, wait a second, I compare it not to Shlamim, but to Toda. No, because the Shlamim-Toda relationship is the Hekesh. And so now what he did is he went from Shlamim to Toda, and then from Toda to Bechor. You can't do that. That's illegal in the world of Kachim. And so you didn't need to go to the Drusha of, right, Giti Alach. You didn't need that. You could have just stopped him right there and said, you can't do that. Because that's a double Hekesh move. So, Lamed Davar Lamed Behekesh, Chozim Lamed Behekesh. Hayin Lachal Lidom B'Lashon Achron, Ela B'Lashon Rishon. Okay, Rav Yishmael. So now, after concluding that, so the Gemara is going to tie up a couple of loose ends over here. Rav Yishmael, ha lecha yiyah my avid lei. So what is Rav Yishmael going to do with lecha yiyah, which for Rabbi Akiva saved him in the argument with Rav Yossi Aglili, but what's Rav Yishmael going to do with it? So limit al-bechor, ba'amum shu matan lakon, shlamatin b'chol ha-Torah. So for that, the halacha, the unique halacha, that if your bechor is a ba'amum, it's a blemished animal, which means that it's no longer suitable to be brought as a karban, still matnas kahuna. Still you give it to the kohen. You could have argued, it's no longer a karban, it's mine. mine. No, not the case. When it comes to a bechor is a matnas kahuna. Whether it is or is not a karban, it doesn't matter. It's matnas kahuna. As a ba'amum, you give it to the kohen. Kohen will then do, what he has to do, is he's going to be poded or redeem it, and he'll eat it, but it's matnas kahuna, gifted to the kohen. Rabbi Akiva, yalef lei mi besaram, chatam v'chabamo. So Rabbi Akiva agrees with that halacha. Where's the source for that halacha? From the word besaram in the plural. Right? One for tam, and the other one for bamon. Rabbi Yishmael mi besaram dehanach b'choros kamar. And Rabbi Yishmael says, no, besaram does not referring to different types of bechor. It means bechoros in general. That's all. But not different types. Okay. What you had in the Braisa was really a discussion of methodology. Okay? The Daf Nun discussion. Okay? It's hard to get that Daf out of my head. So it's really a Daf Nun discussion. It's a question of methodology. And what Rabbi Yossi Aglili did is he went hekesh to hekesh. Chaz v'shok of the Shlomim, we learn out from Chaz v'shok of Toda, and then he wanted to compare Toda to Bechor. And what Rabbi Yishmael said is, that's an illegal move. You can't do that. That's an illegal move. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yossi Aglili knew it was an illegal move, quote-unquote, and he did it anyway. So the Gemara now, from this point forward, will assume Rabbi Yossi Aglili knew what he was doing, and he disagreed. So the Gemara now will try to give us a method of understanding, a means of understanding, what is the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yishmael. Why did Rabbi Yishmael say, hekesh, hekesh, you can't do that? And why was Rabbi Yossi Aglili comfortable saying, nah, that's fine, you could do that? And this is probably the trickiest part of today's daf. I'm not claiming I fully understand it, but at least I know what's going on. I know what the Gemara is trying to do right now. So, b'maika miflagi, mar savar heimenu v'davar acher havehekesh, umar savar lo havehekesh. So now what the Gemara is going to try to argue is that, is this a real hekesh or no? Is it not a real hekesh, but it's actually almost as if the Torah wrote it out, right? And it's almost like mefurish b'kra. And under these circumstances, are we going to qualify this as a hekesh? So what Rav Yossi Aglili's argument is, it's not a real hekesh. The comparison between shlamim and toda, it's more than a hekesh. It's almost like mefurish b'kra. And then the next jump to bechor, that's only one hekesh. And what Rabbi Akiva is going to, well, not Rabbi Akiva, sorry. What Rabbi Yishmael is going to tell you is no. That is already a hekesh. The shlamim to toda is already a hekesh. And then my extending it to my shlamim to toda is already a hekesh. My extending it to bechor is going to be a second hekesh, and I can't do that. Okay. The Gemara says this comes up another place as well. Look, we have a similar concept in the world of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we know that we take the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull, and we sprinkle. Now, we know how we do it. We take each blood and we sprinkle it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim 7 times, in the Heichal 7 times, towards the Paroches, on the Mizbech Hazav. We've done this already a number of times. So what we do is we make multiple comparisons between the Dama Seir and the Dama Par, and we do it without flinching. In other words, we go hekesh, hekesh, And this is karbanos. This is the world of karbanos. This is kachim. And we don't flinch. And it's okay. And what the Gemara now is arguing is that you see sometimes in the world of hekesh, it's a super hekesh. It's as if the Torah, not just comparing, it's as if the Torah wrote it out. But if you call it a hekesh, so what the Gemara now will argue, okay, and this is really the tricky part, is that over there by Yom Kippur, it's not hekesh hekesh. It's really one unilateral hekesh. The Gemara says it in one of two ways. Michael Meimar, so Mekomusu Degamri Mehadade. So number one, the Gemara says, that over there, that's a hekesh of makom. Meaning, I know what we're doing is we're comparing the blood of the bull to the blood of the goat, the blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the blood of the Heichal. I know it sounds like a lot of comparisons, but really Mekomos. The only thing we're really comparing is the locations. Meaning, here's what we do here, and here's what we do here. So in other words, instead of focusing on the animals, focus on location. Okay? And what the Gemara is trying to therefore argue is that it's really one hekesh. Even though in the Mekomos there are two animals and we're really comparing one animal to another animal here and here. But the Gemara says, don't do that. Just look at the Mekomos. Okay, that's one way the Gemara explains it. Iba is Ema. Or the Gemara says, Yichutz mibifnim b'chad zimna gamir. Or the chutz mibifnim, the what I do outside versus what I do inside, outside, inside over here means Heichal versus Kodesh HaKadoshim, is b'chad zimna. It's not a jump. It's learned almost at the same time. Almost at the same time. How does that work over here? Rashi tries to explain it. I tried Rashi a couple of times. I don't fully understand it, right, to be open and honest. But the point is that's not hekesh hekesh. We're not jumping over there. There it's coming bevas achas. Okay. Not totally sure how that works, but the Gemara is arguing that's how we're doing it. So fine. So over there by Yom Kippur, it's not a problem of hekesh hekesh. Either because we are comparing Mekomos, which is one hekesh, or Bevas Achas, or it's happening at the same time. Masha Enkein over here, in the world of Chaz V'Shok, I'm comparing Chaz V'Shok of Ishlamin to that of a Toda. I'm then comparing it from a Toda to Bechor. No, you can't do that. Right? That's two jumps. You cannot do that. Okay. Bishlam Alamandam, let's do one more of these. And then we'll pause. Have a hekesh hanudichti b'moshvosechem taviyo lechem tenufa she'in tamalom taviyo ma tamalom taviyo kol she'atam evi memakom echad hareyu kazeh. The Torah makes comparison. Two times in the Torah where the mincha offering is chametz. Only two times. Number one by the carbon toda. Carbon toda is accessorized with 40 loaves of bread. Of those 40 loaves of bread, 10 of those loaves are chametz. The other 30 are matzah. All menachos are of matzah, except for these exceptions. And the other one is the lechem atoda that's brought on Shavuos. The lechem atoda, lach metoda on Shavuos. Shtei alechem that's brought on Shavuos, also chametz. Okay? So, and the Torah says, the Torah makes a comparison. Ma lahalon isaron lechala, afkan isaron lechala. And this comparison tells us quantity. How much flour I need to bring. So, ima lahalan shnei esronim, afkan shnei esronim. Now, shtei halechem, how many loaves are there? That's a trick question. Shtei halechem. There are two loaves that are brought on Shavuos. Each one is nisaron, so a tenth of an ephah. I don't know how that converts, but each one is nisaron, so that means there are two shnei esronim. I might have thought, once we make a comparison, that is going to be the total quantity that I use for the 10 loaves of bread for your carbon toda. Tamalamer tihiyena. So the Gemara says, no, tihiyena. Each loaf is going to be made up of one isaron. So it'll be a total of 10 esronos, which is a full ephah. Asor l'chametz, asor l'matzah, minayin. Now, there are 10 loaves of chametz. How many loaves of matzah is brought with the carbon toda? So the correct answer is 30. what's going to be the quantity? So if I prorated, so I would tell you, well, it's one isaron per loaf by the chametz. So I would say it's one isaron per matzah by the other 30. Tamalama achalas lechem chametz. Neged chametz havei matzah. So the Gemara says, so the no, it's not, you don't prorate. It actually is equal. The total quantity that I have by chametz is going to be the total quantity that I have by matzah. Okay. So do you see the moves over here? It seems to be two moves. It seems to be the halacha for how much for the chametz of the Torah is learned out from the Shtei Alechem. Then, how much for the matzah is learned out from the chametz of the Torah. So it sounds like we made two moves. We're in the world of karbanos. It's hekesh, hekesh, you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, so if you learn out that this is not a hekesh, hekesh, but it's almost like it's kamafurish bakra, so then you're fine.
Right.
But if you maintain that it's hekesh, hekesh, so what are you going to do over there? Michael, amemer, taviyo, yiserehi. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what I'll say over there? I'll say it's a drasha. Meaning it's not hekesh, hekesh. It's an extra word, what we call a ribui. Okay, it's a drasha. And the Gemara leaves it at that. Okay, extraordinarily complex, a little bit of Gemara over there. Let me just quickly summarize. Okay, because the summary is much easier than the... the conclusion is always so much easier than the process. The process was hard. The conclusion is easy. Bechor is eaten for 2 days and one night. That's it. That's the conclusion. How we arrived at that, we take ourselves back to Karen B'Yavna. We have a conversation between an argument between first Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and then a question of Hekesh Hekesh, and then a question of some Hekeshim are like super Hekeshim, where it's as if it's actually written out, and this, okay, the process was complicated. But the result, the yielding result, of course, is Epichoros for 2 days and one night. You know what's strange? Rashi makes this point. I'm not making this point. The Gemara spent an entire, almost daf, on how we know that the Bechor is eaten for 2 days and one night. What about Maaser Behema? Right. The Mishnah mentions three things. Bechor, Maaser, Pesach. Right. So Pesach, we know, is totally unique. It's just one night and not even that, half of one night. Good. Bechor, so that was an entire daf of Gemara. Maaser? When I say Maaser over here, obviously Maaser Behema. 2 days and one night. How do we know that? The Gemara spends no time discussing it. And if you go back to Rashi, all the way back in the Mishnah, right? Is that where the Rashi is? Yeah. So look at the Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down back in the, as the lines get wide. So Bechor that the Gemara does, which, and then Maaser lo yadana mehecha. And as far as Maaser is concerned, Rashi says, I don't know.
Nobody discussed
it. Right? I don't know.
Can you say two days and one every night, just to clarify, like if you did Sunday, right?
If I shecht the Bechor today.
Before
sunset. It's got to be before sunset. All okay. Karbanas okay.
So
be.
Why would be
so then you have the rest of Sunday, all Sunday night,
and Monday
until Shkia, until sunset. And then when sunset comes, so that's it. You're done.
No, so exactly. Actually, it's like between 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah,
at most.
And right.
At most for all Shlomim.
Right. Okay. Let's finish up. We have a little bit more to go. Let's finish the parak. The Gemara says. So Mantana, I'm sorry. Pesach Eino Necha. Mantana, I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Our Mishnah is Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We all know major machlokas, Karban Pesach. We know you have the night, the whole night or half the night. So that's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Our Mishnah is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Detanya, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Omer Nemar Kamalayla Hazeh, Menemar Lahalam Ba'avarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeh. It couldn't be more time appropriate. It's this week's parsha. Malahalan ad chatzos, avkan ad chatzos. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, amalei le Rabbi Akiva, avalo kvar ne'emar v'achaltam aso b'chipazon, ad shas chipazon. What do you mean? You have the whole night. Ad shas chipazon. They were rushed out the whole night. Imke matamar lomar b'layla, shiachu yeikah chol akashim, hanachalam v'yom tamar lomar b'layla. You know what the b'layla is there for, says Rabbi Akiva? You can't eat during the day. And that's unlike any other carbon. All other carbon is, you shecht it, you eat it. That's not true with the Karban Pesach. You shecht it and you hold it and you wait until evening. And that's what the Torah is trying to convey with the words balayla. Balayla yehei nechal, v'ena nechal v'yom. Okay. Amalei Abaye. Abaye has a very simple question. Umimai de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'dar reisa. How do you know? How do you know our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Dilma de Rabbanu, laharchik ben Aveira. First Mishnah and Brachos. Maybe our Mishnah here is going like Rabbi Akiva. That really you have the whole night. And as a geder de Rabbanan, the rabbi said, midnight. Stop at midnight. Kedei laharchik adam in avera, so that, because if I eat 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I may eat it post-dawn. And so the rabbis put a geder, asusi agla Torah. Imkein mai ela ad chatzos, ela ki hasam mahasam daraisa, Avkan nami da araisa. The word Ella is too strong. Ella ad chatzos. Right? It really speaks to the idea of Rav Elazar ben Azariah that really it's mid da araisa at night. Last Tosos of the Perek. Excuse me. Last Tosos of the Perek. Tosos says, and we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that you only can eat it until midnight. So Tosos says, oh, and by the way, don't think that this halacha is a 2,000-year-old halacha. Tosfos writes, look at the very last end of Tosfos. Now that I'm telling you the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so that means that if you eat your matzah post chatzos, post midnight, halachic midnight, so that's no good. Because matzah is in place of the Karban Pesach, matzah is in conjunction with the Karban Pesach, so matzah has to be eaten also before chatzos as well. Okay, just to end off, you know, by the way, that's not accepted by everybody, that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara never paskins who is correct on the Rav Elazar Rabbi Akiva. The only reason why Tosfos says it over here is because we do have a Stam Mishnah on the fifth parak of Zvachim, which, right, we're concluding with, that indicates that it is Rav Elazar ben Azariah, but not all Rishonim agree with Tosfos. Okay, Ad Kan, Hadron Alach, Ezim Ukaman, that's the end of the fifth parak.